Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
You want to host this thing tonight, Baselli?
Yeah, why not? What's the show called?
Jaguars Thursday. Welcome in to Jaguars Thursday, everybody. Jeff Loggeman, and across the table from me, yes, Tony Baselli is going to do all the reads tonight, and I expect him to do an exceptional job.
Well, it'll be
you
better.
Don't think so?
Well, the bar is so low with JP.
Ooh,
it should not be that hard to make it happen. All I need, Joe, is you tell me when to start talking.
Go ahead.
Oh, this first one right here?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Just not let me
yet.
Know.
No, not yet.
I'm ready.
I'm ready for the game tonight.
I'm ready for
real.
That's
what I love about the National Football League. I love the opening game on a Thursday night to where the sole focus is on the returning Super Bowl champions, and it always is a great matchup, and that's a great matchup tonight against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm more excited about anything that it's real football, and that was confirmed to me watching film, getting ready for our game, watching the Carolina Panthers. I've seen enough preseason football.
Yeah.
It's enough. I know it has its purpose. I know it's important for the coaches and the GMs, and it's part of the system we're in. And I get it. We played it. I can't wait for the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, Sunday when we play, and I can't wait to watch real film next week getting ready for the Miami Dolphins.
Film that matters.
Oh, I mean, because so,
it all matters. But, I mean, film that you just –
you watch the preseason.
It's different.
It's such a tease because you really don't know. Because certain guys, veterans, don't play as hard. They're, you know, not showing everything. It's vanilla. And it's sometimes hard to evaluate, but I'm looking forward to it.
And especially with this team because there's so many new components, particularly on defense, that we haven't seen yet in a regular season game, whether it be Dan Scuda or Jared Odrick or Devon House or Sergio Brown. But you just want to see how they perform and how they react in a regular season game that you really can't evaluate in the preseason because there's limited exposure. And then a lot of times they're not playing everybody in the preseason. If somebody gets a hangnail, he's out. We don't want him to agitate it.
And listen, I think everyone plays hard. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you played hard in the preseason. I played hard. But when it's real, it goes up a notch. I don't know how to explain it. You're more focused. You're more sharp. It's more important. There's more urgency. And so especially on the defensive side of the ball, I want to see that urgency out of the front seven. I don't think we saw that during the preseason.
And you bring up a good point because, you know, you kind of take your evaluation of the defense in the preseason and go, well, it's the preseason, but they didn't have a takeaway, okay? The defense didn't really rush the passer all that great in the first four games of the preseason, but it's the preseason. And so you have a little bit of concern about the defense, but at the same time, is it because it's the preseason and can they turn it on the preseason and make it look better? The history has shown that typically it's hard for teams to be able to flip a switch and turn it on for the regular season. But individuals have been capable of doing that.
Absolutely, all the time. And I've played against guys. I remember Leslie O'Neal as a young player playing.
He was a great player.
Oh, and I remember we played in the preseason in 96 with the Rams in the preseason. And a second-year player and growing up watching Leslie O'Neal.
For the San Diego Chargers when you watched him.
Yeah, because I was a Denver Bronco fan. He used to just terrorize John Elway. And remember thinking, God, this is a big – you know, it was a preseason. And I went out there and just wore him out. And I'm like, well, no big deal. We played him week four. And I'll be honest with you.
A little different.
Going to the game, I was like, it was still Leslie O'Neal. I respected him. But I said, I blocked him all night long in the preseason, no problem. First play, came with the ball. I'm like, this isn't the same guy I played against. I mean, this is a different guy. And there's certain veterans that have been around.
Yeah.
And they know how to – they know they play during the preseason to get ready for the regular season. And when the regular season comes, it's a different speed.
Yeah, and there's not a ton of guys like that. But there are some. You know, I mean, for the most part, most of the guys.
I hope some of the guys in our defense are like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, it's yeah. You
listen. I think the biggest question mark, which is ironic, I don't think we would have been saying this or thought we'd be saying this a couple months ago. I feel more confident on the offensive side of the ball right now than I do the defensive side of the ball.
Question for you, because you know I've been thinking about this week. You know. Everybody kind of thought over the last couple of years that the Jaguars' defense was good. Were they really? Were they really that good, though?
Well, they are put in such bad situations. It's so hard, and I think that's why we gave them the benefit of the doubt, because they were always on the field. They were always in poor field position situations and always playing from behind, meaning the other team had the lead and could dictate the pace of the game.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out this year. Really what they are. And the big concern is we've talked about it all preseason. I don't know where the pass rush comes from. Now, I'll say this. Watching the Carolina Panthers offensive line.
They got a chance.
They could have 5 or 6 sacks here.
Yeah, they got a chance.
It's not very good.
No, they're not a great unit.
And they haven't yet picked up a twist. I'm still waiting for them to block a line game up front in the film I watched. And this team likes to twist and do a lot of games on third down.
Yeah, because the lightning package is a smaller package, and they like to have guys fly around and do different things. So,
and Carolina has not shown the ability to block it. So, I mean, so maybe this is a confidence builder, get well game, whatever you want to call it. But I am curious to see what this defense ultimately is. I think both of us thought Jared Odwork would be a big run stuffer. I expect him to play better than he did during the preseason. I thought it was just pretty average at times. He's a good football player. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have Roy Miller out there the entire time. I thought Tyson had a good preseason. You know,
I thought Tyson had a very good preseason.
I did too. Clem's getting the start. He's a veteran. He knows how to play. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that group plays.
And one thing to add too, when you talk about evaluating the Carolina Panthers offensive line. Ryan Khalil, their starting center, who's an SC guy, by the way.
Very good player.
Southern Cal, who's been a very good player, much better than his brother in Minnesota, although his brother plays a different position, plays left tackle.
Yep.
But he was injured, I think, in the second preseason game where he had a knee, and so there's some question whether or not that he would be available to play this week against the Jaguars. And the injury report came out. I think he was limited
in
practice.
The last 2 days he's been limited.
So – typically on a veteran guy that's been limited,
they're gonna
play him.
Ryan Khalil.
But the question is how effective can he be?
Well, he'll be better than the guy that replaced him. I don't even think he's on the roster anymore. The guy who started in the New England game.
I don't think he is, because he was the backup last year, and then they ended up keeping another guy this year.
They kept three guards.
Yeah, they kept three guards, but they do have a center, a backup center, and I think it's Amini. Let me try this. You want to try that one?
No, I'll let you go with that.
Amini Silatolu.
If you didn't say it, I was just going to say Chris Scott was the backup.
A fourth-year guy from Midwestern State. You go over the easy one.
You know, so they're just – but Ryan Khalil's going to be better. He's a veteran guy. He's going to stabilize that offensive line for him, get him on the right page. They were not on the right page when I watched in the preseason. But that's going to be a matchup. Listen, I love the matchup, and we'll get into this throughout the evening. I love the matchup that the Carolina Panthers coming down. I think it's a great game for the Jaguars opening day.
Favors them well.
It does. There's some matchup issues on the defense. I think the Luke Jokel is going to have – he's going to play
well. He's going to have his hands full.
Because Mario Addison's a good pass rusher.
He is.
And he rushes the passer very well. He does not start on the regular defense, but he will be in there on every third down, and he'll rotate in on first and second down.
If I remember right, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he with the Chicago Bears for a period of time?
He might have been. They rolled so many different defensive ends in there, but he's a long-armed, leverage guy who has good quickness, good first step off the ball, can go speed to power if he needs to, and I think it's a great matchup. You know, across the rest of the offensive line, I don't. You know, Starlo too. He's not going to play. I don't believe at all. He's not practiced.
No, he didn't practice. And we're talking about he has a stress issue in his foot, which is typically a stress fracture, and they're trying. And he's been in a boot recently.
And when you're 6'2", 320, but really about 340. The stress fracture in the foot is not a good injury. So I like the matchups across the board otherwise. I think, listen, Luke's going to have to play well. If Luke plays well, it'll be fine. But the overall matchup for this team, I like. I think it sets up well. If the offense can play the way they've been playing and build on it, which I expect them to do, and the defense, I think, is going to have a good day against this Carolina Panther offense.
I think if you want an idea of how serious that star Lotulelei, how serious his foot injury is, look at the depth chart. The Carolina Panthers kept five defensive tackles.
And a name we recognize.
Yeah, Kyle Love.
Kyle Love.
Well, when he was here in Jacksonville and he was battling out, and I remember the battle, it was the first year of the Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell era, and they had Kyle Love and they had Brandon Dedrick, two former New England Patriots. And I thought that Kyle Love had the better training camp. And you would probably agree, but Brandon Dedrick had a little bit more positional flexibility that he could play inside, he could play defensive end. And so Kyle Love didn't have a roster spot, and so Kyle Love really hasn't had a home since he left the New England Patriots. But Kyle Love's a good football player. Now he's a nose tackle that can move pretty well. And so by them having to keep five defensive tackles, I think that's an indication of how concerned they are about star Lotulelei's foot.
Yeah, he's a guy who has done nothing during the entire preseason at all. And he's a guy that is a difference maker on the front when he can play. High draft pick. Gus talked about him. He's a dominant player. And it changes the game with him not in there. You know, I think we'd have been okay. The matchup with him and Brandon Linder would have been a great one to watch. It would have been enjoyable for us to evaluate.
Yeah.
It would have been outstanding.
Yeah, but I'm never going to be upset that
I'm not upset he's not
a great
playing.
Player is out.
Absolutely, because I think and I want to evaluate this tonight, Jeff, as we go through it. Because the one thing we haven't seen this offense do well is run the ball between the tackles during the preseason.
I think the first game against Pittsburgh was pretty good.
Yeah, but the second two, when the starters played more time.
It kind of faded away. Now, the short yardage continued to be good against the Giants and against Detroit. That was great.
No one has stopped the offense with Tyson Alualu in there yet. So maybe Tyson should play every down.
Yeah, put him in on regular down. All right, let's head to the phone lines and bring up Leo, who's at the beach. He's got a question about McCray. Good evening, Leo.
Hey, how you doing? JP, Jeff, and Tony.
You get no JP tonight.
JP's gone tonight.
JP is at an event tonight, so you just got me and Baselli.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Let me ask you a question about McCray. I understand that the coaching staff think COVID and Grotz at this moment is better. I want to know, how are they better than Demetrius McCray when he had a great PFF rating last year against top wide receivers last season? If you could answer that question off the air, I appreciate it.
Yeah, good question. That's Pro Football Focus, I assume, what he's talking about.
Yeah, PFF. Yep. Pro Football Focus, they basically give a grade out to defensive backs, linemen, offensive linemen. And I don't know exactly how they do this or who is actually the one that's doing the evaluation.
Who the expert is, I don't either.
I don't know. But one thing that I do know is that they want to get playmakers on the field that have the ability to catch the ball. And I think that Demetrius McCray is a very good defensive back when he's in coverage with the deep ball. I don't think he has great ball skills. How many times can you think of last year that you would like to have seen Demetrius McCray make an interception instead of putting the one hand up and just kind of batting the ball away, to actually turn his body and compete for the ball, knowing that he has the proper body position so he doesn't have to worry about just batting the ball? He can turn and try to dominate the ball. It was quite a few times.
Yeah, I think so, Jeff. And I think the other thing is listen, Demetrius McCray does not mean he's not going to be involved. He's a good football player.
Yeah.
His strength is on the outside. His strength is the longer, deeper routes, the go pattern, post pattern, deep ends. He has great length. He has great range. He runs well. Where Demetrius probably struggles a little bit right now and needs to get better is reaction to the stuff underneath, change of direction on the comeback routes, you know, slants, those type of routes. Where right now Colvin's better and Grotz is better at that, and they've had better camps. Demetrius McCray started as the camp as the starting corner, and frankly, Colvin and Grotz beat him out.
And here's another question that I would have, and we don't know this because he's not on the injury report. You know, going back to the preseason, McCray got hurt, you know, where he got the knee contusion. Is this decision-making process maybe still part of that or a result of that? We don't know. But you know, hey, look, the reality of it is that next week it could change again. McCray could go back to being the guy maybe because of the matchup.
Well, you got to remember, Gross was the starter last year. McCray beat him out as the year went on. And then Alan Ball got hurt, and they both played.
Yeah.
And so, listen, it's a long season. A lot can happen. And, listen, you can never have too many corners on the football field.
Never. All right, let's take a break here on Jaguars Thursday. We're going to open the phone lines up, folks. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 is the number outside the Jacksonville calling area, 1-800-355-NFL-1. And we'll be back right after this. Oh, wait a minute. Baselli, you ready?
I'm ready. Do I go now, Joe?
Ready, set, and go.
The Jaguars and Ride Smart Florida have partnered to provide a dedicated motorcycle parking lot near Everbank Field. Hey, in the old days, Jeff, you'd have loved that there.
I would have had front row.
Absolutely. At this Sunday's game versus Carolina, the first 25 fans in the motorcycle lot will park for free. Now, if you're a fan, you have to have a motorcycle to get in there. For more information, go to Jaguars.com.
That was very nicely done.
Thank you very much.
We're not going to have JP do this ever again.
Well, I've tried to tell Joe, not only on this show, but on Sunday's broadcast, I'm much better at this.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Hey, Jaguar fans, check out Audi Jacksonville. They go out of their way to provide total customer satisfaction, including their service concierge, so you'll never have to leave home for service. I'm Tony Baselli. This is Jeff Loggeman, and this is Jaguars Radio Thursday. Oh, that you're Jeff Loggeman.
I'm Loggeman.
Well, I can be both.
Hey, the one
more
thing
of me is better, Joe.
One thing we forgot to mention when we were talking about the Carolina Panthers offensive line, we'd mentioned that Ryan Khalil is dealing with a knee injury. But, you know, you go back to last year with this Carolina Panthers offensive line, they had like 8 different starting combinations with their offensive line last year, which is very uncommon. I mean, offensive line typically is the most consistent group all year long. You might get 2, you might get 3 different combinations in a season. But to have 8 different combinations, it tells you one thing.
They're struggling.
They're searching for answers. They're searching in a big way for answers. And then part of the answer, that they had to find in the offseason was adding in Michael Orr, who had been, I mean, even though he is the blind side from the famous movie, he has been primarily a right tackle in his career. I don't know if he's a left tackle or not.
Well, so his career started off in Baltimore as a right tackle because they had someone who could play the left, and then he moved over to the left side because Bryant McKenney was the left tackle. Bryant got old and fat and done. And they moved Michael Orr over to the left tackle, and he actually struggled.
Yeah,
and
they had to move him back.
Wasn't doing great, and they moved him back to the right tackle position. When he was a free agent, they let him go. Tennessee Titans signed him last year as a right tackle. He started at the right side after the injury I can't think of his name right now.
David Stewart.
The rookie.
Well, that's what it was, because they had Michael Roos and Teller Lewan, and they were going to kind of play both of those guys, and then Michael Roos had an injury, so Teller Lewan went to left tackle, and then Michael
Orr to my right tackle.
Played right tackle.
And so then, obviously, after 1 year, it didn't work out there, and they moved on from him. And you talk about the desperation of the Carolina Panthers. They brought a guy who's played – he's had success at the right side, struggled the left side to come be their left tackle. And then you go from there, Andrew Norwell is the left guard, who, watching him, he's a big guy, undrafted. He was undrafted in 2014, was a free agent, played a little bit last year because of injuries. He's going to be the starting left guard now. He's a big guy, 6'6", 325, but he's stiff. He doesn't have great hips, doesn't have great movement, struggles to get to the next level, and struggles with movement. Ryan Khalil is a very good player. We talked about him. He's beat up. You got Trey Turner, second-year player out of LSU. If I'm not mistaken, he was a third-round draft pick out of LSU. He's solid. He's a big-bodied guy. He moves pretty well. And then the right tackle is Mike Remmers.
Who is he?
He's another undrafted guy, free agent at Oregon State, third-year player. And he's okay, Jeff. He's a big, mauling right tackle. I think you can get on the edge of him. He struggles with outside rush. If you go speed to inside power, he really gave up a lot of pressure in the third preseason game against New England. So overall, as a unit, they're not very good.
Yeah, but the one thing is with an offense like that, they have a quarterback that can help make them look better.
He can put a lot of pressure on you because he sits back in the pocket. He's much more disciplined than he's been in the past, but he's not afraid to move around and run.
No.
And trust me, opening day, he did not press the envelope in the preseason as he should not.
No.
But he will during the regular season. And if he gets in, starts running around, he is dangerous for two reasons. One, he can run. He's big. He's physical. And two, he's looking down the field as he's scrambling. And so you better stay in coverage for
a long time.
But
I wouldn't say that he is like a Russell Wilson.
No, no.
Because Russell Wilson really is unique about keeping his eyes down the field when he runs. Whereas Cam Newton.
But he's more physical than Russell.
Exactly. He's a, you know, first of all, he's 6'5", 245 pounds, and is built like a linebacker.
And then you look at the other thing, though, Jeff. You look outside at the receiver position, they're average.
They're very average at the wide receiver position.
Philly Brown, who dropped, you know, couldn't catch a cold.
Did you watch his drops?
Yes.
And who we're talking about, folks, is last year they had a rookie, and he kind of rose to fame in the playoffs because he had some significant games in the playoffs.
He's an undrafted guy as well.
And they called him Philly Brown, and offseason he said he wants to go back to being called Corey Brown. Well, now he wants to go back to being called Philly Brown because he's had some drops as Corey Brown. Yes, I know that's hard to keep track of, but he's going to be called Corey Brown or Philly Brown, and he's an undrafted player, second year out of Ohio State. And watching him in the third preseason game that they had, I think it was against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, it was the Patriots.
Or the Patriots, I mean. He had two significant drops. One of them was for a touchdown, and he was in the end zone, and the other one he was wide open with nobody around him.
And then the third one was for a first down in the red zone.
And obviously, this is not something that's just cropped up with him or is just, you know, an aberration. This is something that he's had issues with in the past. And he's still named as a starter. Ted Ginn Jr. is back. Last year, he signed a free agent deal to go to the Arizona Cardinals. He's a journeyman.
He's a good returner. He's not a good receiver.
He's not a courageous wide receiver.
Their best receiver, Jeff, is Jericho Cotchery, who's the
– And he's hurt.
Only because he's a veteran.
Well, and he's hurt.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got a groin issue.
He's the best guy they have. And then – most likely, we're going to see quite a bit of Devin Funches, the rookie out of Michigan, who's also nursing an injury, but they're saying he's going to play. He's a big physical wide receiver, but he's a rookie. I'll tell you right now, the one guy you have to ID and find in that offense
tight end
is Greg Olsen, because that's where Cam Newton is going with the ball. And that concerns me a little bit because did you hear
what Gus Bradley
said? No, I
was
watching film. Okay. I didn't hear the first half.
We were actually talking about Greg Olsen, and I brought up that, you know, I mean, heck, last year Greg Olsen had 84 catches for over 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns, which is tremendous numbers. And then going to that back to that third preseason game against the New England Patriots, he was targeted like 9 times in the first half. A tight end was targeted 9 times in the first half by Cam Newton.
And Jeff, what one position group on offense did we struggle covering last year more than anything else?
Tight ends.
So I hope there's a game plan. And I got to believe, based on the other weapons that are on the field, that we're going to make sure somebody is covering him at all times.
Has there ever been a game that you can think of in the National Football League to where you – and maybe Antonio Gates when he gets in the tight red area, but has there ever been a game where in the regular part of the field – that you would have double coverage on a tight end on almost a play-by-play basis?
Yes.
Who?
Last year, the New England Patriots, because they didn't have anyone besides Rob Gronkowski who was really going to scare you. We had Edelman and Amendola and stuff like that, but Ron Gronkowski was the guy that dictated that offense. But, I mean, we're talking about the best tight end in football. Yeah. But this is a situation where you got – Jeff, I'm with you. I'd roll coverage to him. I'd put a safety over. I don't know what you do.
All day long.
I'm not an expert in coverages, but I know one thing. I'd find 88, Greg Olsen's number, and I'd make sure he didn't beat
– You can't let him beat
make
you.
Make Ted Ginn Jr. beat you. Make Philly Brown beat you. Make Devin Funches beat you. Make anyone else beat you besides Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen made his first Pro Bowl last year. He is 126 consecutive games played, started his career out with the Chicago Bears, and kind of fell out of favor. I think it was with Mike Martz or something there, Chicago, whatever. And then anyway, became a free agent, ends up in Carolina. He's been an extremely productive player. One of the more than a few great tight ends that come out of the University of Miami. And I'm going to be real curious to see, because, you know, a lot of people say, well, and we also just talked about linebackers covering the tight ends. There's no telling where the coverage could have to come from with Greg Olsen, because watching the way they've lined him up in the past, he could draw the coverage of a linebacker. He could draw the coverage of a safety. It could be a nickelback, or it could be a cornerback. So it's not like they can say, okay, Jonathan Cyprian or, hey, Telvin Smith, you cover 88 all day long. You can't do that.
No,
not with the way he lines up.
They're going to move him all over the place, Jeff. They're going to motion him. They're going to move him in as an in. There'll be a, he'll be lined up as an inline tight end, meaning right next to the tackle. He'll line up in the slot. He'll line up in a wing. He'll line up as the outside wide receiver. He'll motion into the backfield. I mean, listen, they understand as well as anybody else that they have to figure out the best way to get him the ball. Mike Shula, the offensive coordinator, is going to game plan for Greg Olsen. They're going to try to run the ball with Jonathan Stewart, and they're going to try to game plan to get the matchup they want for Greg Olsen. That's the two things I guarantee you Mike Shula and his staff are figuring out, sitting down right now, how to do that, and that's what they've worked on all week.
I love their fullback, too.
Mike Tolbert.
Mike Tolbert.
Football player.
I mean, Mike Tolbert, where did he come from? He wasn't in Carroll. Was it San Diego?
San Diego.
Okay,
he was the third back of San Diego.
And he was a running back. And I remember the first time, and it might be going all the way back to the one Blake Bortles game against San Diego.
No, he's
but
been
it was years ago. It was like, because Tolbert's in his eighth year. It might have been.
He's been at Carolina at least 3 years now.
It might have been back going to like 07, 08, or whenever it was, and the Jaguars go out there, 07 maybe, and all of a sudden the San Diego Chargers put this dumpy-looking running back out on the football
field. Well, they say he's 5'9", 250.
Right now.
He's 5'9". He's north of 250.
Yes. I remember the first time we ever saw him, all of a sudden he steps out on the field, and I'm going, they're going to hand the ball to that little fat guy? And all of a sudden, Mike Tolbert starts looking like John Riggins.
The cat can run the ball.
And I was going, wow.
And he can block as well.
And that's like belly power. I mean, it was like a car bumper that he had in front of him.
Did you say belly power? I think that's what I have.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
It's growing, at least, my
belly. But Mike Tolbert is a legitimate football player, and I like him. I mean, I would not be surprised to see them hand the ball. All right, let's take a break here on Jaguars Thursday. And, Mac, hang tight because we're going to put you up first in line after we take this break in this excellent read by somebody who's not J.P. Shadrick, but somebody who's much more talented than Tony Buzzelli.
Kiss Game Day parking, hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. There are five convenient park-and-ride lots to choose from for Jaguars games. Tickets start at just $7. Visit JTAFLA.com for more information. And Jeff and I will be right back on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Welcome back. I'm Tony Buzzelli. That's Jeff Logman. We're talking about the big matchup opening day. We're tired of the preseason. We're ready for the regular season. Jaguars, Panthers.
1 o'clock kick.
1 o'clock kick. Nothing better than opening day in the NFL. It
no,
kicks off tonight with the game. The Steelers.
I just got done telling you.
Patriots, excuse me.
That I can't wait until after the show to go home, prop my feet up, and get in front of the TV and watch a football game and just relax and enjoy it. Because I don't watch a lot of college football. I really don't. I don't watch hardly any college football. So tonight's my night, and I can't wait for that. And now let's go to the phone lines if you want to get in. 1-800-355-NFL1 or locally 355-6351. And let's bring up Mac this evening. What's happening, Mac?
Hey, Jeff and Tony, I'm glad you guys stayed around after your playing careers in Jacksonville. You guys wasn't here in 93, and maybe even the fans been so long the fans forgot, but to me, this is a robbery geographically. But back in 93, they awarded the team to Charlotte. But what they did was the other four cities, they made them hold up, made them wait because they were trying to get St. Louis to get their act together. And they wanted Wayne Weaver. They wanted Wayne Weaver to own the St. Louis team, but he said, no, I'm going to stick with Jacksonville. And Walter Payton was even on the St. Louis team. So 30 days later, they gave the team to Jacksonville. But in that time, in 30 days, Charlotte was called as Hicks and everything. And they wanted to go to Charlotte. And they even gave them the dominant conference, was the NFC. So I don't like them. We're going to kick their behind, and all you got to do is get in Cam Newton's head, and we're going to beat them. And it is a rivalry, but we don't play them that much because we're in the opposite conference.
All right, well, Mac, hold that thought just for a minute because, you know, what you're talking about, going back to 93 and the markets that were contending for the expansion franchise, I was following that as close as anybody.
Well, you're going to be a free agent.
Because I was going to be a free agent. And I knew that when you had two expansion franchises.
Money, 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 money.
That would make the market more competitive for me. And so I followed that very closely. And wasn't trying to be selfish at all, but that's just, I mean, heck,
it's all business.
If you're going to be a businessman, yeah, you got to be able to gauge the market. And so I knew that at that time, Mac, was that if you could get to free agency in 95, when these two expansion teams came about, that it would be good business to be free agent at that time.
Did you visit Charlotte, Carolina?
No, because they ran a 3-4.
Right.
And didn't run the scheme that I was a fit because I was a 4-3 defensive end. But I remember when Dom Capers was hired in Carolina, I went,
one down.
Man.
Only one left.
Yeah. Because I knew it, you know, unless Dom was going to switch me to a, you know, a outside linebacker. But I didn't envision that happening because I just made the switch from middle linebacker to outside linebacker to defensive end. But it's funny you bring that up, Mac, because, I mean, you're going back to a time frame that I was following it very closely.
Well, I remember when we played them in 96. And, Jeff, you remember that game. And they were in the second year, and they were having more success than us at that time, early in the first half of that season. And it was a huge game. It meant something.
It did.
Because they were Carolina, we were Jacksonville, coming in into the expansion.
It was probably the closest apples-to-apples comparison you could have in pro
Absolutely.
Football.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, we were ready to play the game. We came out and whipped them and beat them on both sides of the ball and won that ball game. And it was important. It was important to us as players. It was important to our head coach. It was important to the city, Tom Coughlin, Wayne Weaver. And so there is a – I think it's died down a little bit. I think in the diehard fans and for us who were around at the beginning, it still means something. I don't think it means much to the players now because we're in different conferences. You don't play each other that much. Heck, in a perfect world, it would sure would be fun if they regionalized more of the conference and you had, you know, the Jaguars and the Falcons and the Bucks and, yeah, you know, and Carolina, you know, playing each other more often, because I do think that would – it means something to the fans around here and fans of those cities.
Do you still look at it, Mac, as a big rivalry?
Yes, I do.
Okay. It's interesting because, you know, I don't think – I mean, the players don't know that history.
No, the players don't know.
No, I mean, you're talking about the millennial generation, and I'm learning all this fancy terminology through Jeff Bradley and Tom
Coughlin.
And
I think the fans probably don't know either, because a lot of the fans moved here, you know, so unless you're hardcore like me, you know, been all your life.
I remember the first game ever in Jaguars history, which was the Hall of Fame game, which is held, you know, annually in Canton, Ohio, and it coincides with the annual induction of the Hall of Fame members. And we went to that game, and I'll never forget. I don't know, but Tony, you were hurt.
I was hurt.
I'd already taken you out of the lineup.
Yeah.
I remember that was the worst I ever felt going into any game ever.
Well, you said 4 weeks of two-a-days, so what'd you expect?
I remember watching myself on Philmac going, what happened to the guy that had legs that could move pretty well? I had nothing.
Well, on top of that, no one, I mean – you were a veteran. It was a preseason game. It was – you're tired. You're worn out. And that's why that 96 game really meant something, I think, for all of us who were part of it.
All right, so if you had to be neutral, Mac, which franchise has had the most success comparing the two?
Okay, to really be honest with you, putting the Teal in aside, got to be the Panthers because they've been in the Super Bowl and we haven't.
Yeah,
it's hard to argue that.
Yeah,
you get to the Super Bowl, it means something, and they have.
But let me say this one. But Jeff and Tony, let me say this one thing, and I thank you guys. I'm 53 years old. Before I leave this earth, I've been in Jacksonville all my life except 7 years in the military. Before I leave this earth, the Jaguars are going to win a Super Bowl championship.
Well, I'll tell you this. I hope you're right. I believe you're right, and I hope Jeff and I are calling the game on Jaguars
awesome.
Radio.
It would be awesome.
Hey, I'm older than you guys.
Not that much,
means,
Mac.
That means you're real old, Mac.
Not much, Mac. Not much.
Mac, hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. And hey,
all
Mac.
Right, y'all.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, Mac. I don't know if anybody's ever told you this on the radio because I always hear those guys giving you a hard time. Thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mac.
All righty.
Open phone lines 355-6351 if you'd like to get in. I always love listening to Mac. He will get people fired up, and that's okay. But, I mean, Mac brings up a good point. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl. They've got the early years, and I remember the distinct difference between the two franchises.
They
was,
fell off the face of the earth quickly early.
They drafted the quarterback, you know, Kerry Collins.
It went heavy free agents.
Heavy in free agency. Kevin Green, Greg Lloyd.
Lamar Latham.
Who else did they have? I'd have to like
Burline into didn't
Steve Burline.
He started for Kerry Collins that second year.
After he left here.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember some of the offensive Wesley Walls.
Yep.
Cast off from the New Orleans Saints, who shouldn't have never been a cast off.
He's a good player. He was in Wesley Walls was in the same College Football Hall of Fame drafted class as I was, and Wesley and I were in New York last year together.
He is. You've talked to him, haven't you?
Oh, gosh, yeah, yeah.
He is one of the funniest guys you could ever talk to. Great guy, and always enjoyed spending some time. What do you got for us there, Joe?
We got to do Shine. Remember now, we had a game Thursday, so we got 2 weeks worth of Shine.
All right, let's hear both.
So we'll run them all together.
So this is going to be the Washington.
First it'll be Detroit.
Detroit and Washington
combined.
Shine.
So try to remember 2 weeks ago.
Which we do, and we do this, and then it's aired on the pregame show or tailgate show.
And then correct. We decide who won on the show.
That's correct. Let's hear it.
Here's Detroit followed by Washington.
Okay. They are going to rush the passer. The conversation has been for 2 weeks about putting more pressure on the quarterback. The Lions don't have a great offensive line. The Jaguars' front will show signs of getting it done for the year coming up. And I don't need any more time, by the way.
Bing, bing. Let me tell you why the Jags offense is going to win. It's because Luke Jokel is going to show why he was picked before Ezekiel Anza. He's going to dominate him, throw him around the field. And then Allen Robinson's going to run by the old man Mathis for
Did
six.
Did he play? What was Anza's first name again?
Bing, bing. Ezekiel.
The Jaguars defense is just going to have
better.
An absolute great day. If RG3 plays, that's for certain. I don't know why they're making a big deal out of this RG3 in Washington. Stop wasting time. Play the backups. It's going to give you the best chance to win.
Let me tell you why the Jaguars offense is going to dominate. Because Wiz is going to have a fork and a knife, and he's going to eat up pot roast.
Did they play
all day long? Pot roast will be a little chicken wing when he's all done with that, going right up the gut.
Bing, bing.
And who won?
Who cares?
Who cares?
It's the preseason. Let's talk about something that matters.
I will flip all the cards, but listen. This Sunday, and you guys will talk about the Carolina game.
And this is when it gets real. You know, and we may have an opinion that might not be why the defense will shine or why the offense will shine. We might have an opinion that says why we think that the offense won't shine.
That's right.
Or why the defense won't shine. So the game planning starts for real, and then the shine on starts for real now.
All right, Jeff, you've heard about Republic Services. They are the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. They're the official waste provider of the Jaguars and have been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here, and we will be right back on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. And Jeff, it is time for the injury report, which is presented by Baptist Health Systems, changing healthcare for good.
And here it is on the Jaguars side of things. There are four guys that are pretty much a known status for this week. Andre Branch, Marquise Lee, Sendarek Marks, and Julius Thomas over the last couple days. None of them have practiced, did not practice as their designation. Today, Toby Gerhart once again was limited as he was yesterday. Leroy Reynolds was limited today as he was yesterday coming back from that knee injury. Michael Bennett, the rookie out of Ohio State defensive tackle, was back to full after being limited yesterday. Jonathan Cyprian, full again today like he was yesterday. And Brian Walters, this was one that I was watching closely. Yesterday did not practice with a hamstring, and today he was back to being full. That's good news for the Jaguars. I know that he has been a dependable wide receiver, and with the lack of availability. What was it, the White Tiger? White Lion? White Tiger?
Albino Tiger.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, but having him available is big. For the Carolina Panthers, tight end Richie Brockle has a shoulder injury. He's not expected to play, did not practice today or yesterday. Star Lotulelei, maybe one of their top two defensive players, three defensive players, did not practice again today. He's got a foot. Nate Chandler, an offensive tackle, is a backup, I believe. Let me just double-check that.
Yes, he is. Backup left tackle.
He's a backup left tackle. Did not practice today. Yesterday was limited. Ryan Khalil, with the knee injury he suffered in week two in the preseason, was limited again today as he was yesterday. Cornerback Josh Norman, 2 days in a row that he has been limited. He suffered a concussion in the preseason. And then cornerback Teddy Williams, who is a backup to Josh Norman, had a groin injury, but he was full at practice yesterday and full once again today. And that's your injury report.
Jeff, before we go looking around the league real quick, Michael Bennett, will he be in the rotation on Sunday?
I think he's going to be active. How much of actually being in the rotation? I would think it's a very small rotation.
I thought he played well in the fourth preseason game. Absolutely, I know it was against backups, but he rushed the passer really well from that inside position.
Yeah, and he might be one of those guys that's active, but if everybody were healthy, he probably wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But you're right, the fourth preseason game, what impressed me the most about Michael Bennett was his stamina has always been a little bit of a question, and that was kind of the question marks coming out of Ohio State. His stamina got better against the Washington Redskins, and he played a ton of snaps in that ball game.
A lot of snaps, played well.
Had a couple nice pass rushes, was pretty stout against the run. So I thought overall, if they had to make the decision between Ziggy Hood and Michael Bennett, I think that Michael Bennett would have cemented his spot on the roster.
He was on the roster no matter what.
Even if Ziggy Hood
came
out healthy.
Yes.
So.
All right, Jeff, it is time to take a look around the league. It is opening weekend. It starts tonight. Take us through the schedule.
All right, 8:30 kickoff tonight. The Steelers at the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. And I will not put anything in there about questioning any of their Super Bowls for now. That will be happening, I'm sure, at some point in the
Stop
future.
Stop there real quick. I, for one, am happy as a fan Tom Brady is playing tonight.
Absolutely. I think that's the way it should have been. You know, at the same token, if they had conducted the investigation
properly
and had a truly independent investigation, if they did and find factual evidence that he did mess with the football, even though how minimal I think it had on the impact of the game, I thought that he should have been suspended. But a very botched investigation, independent investigation by the National Football League. Who's going to win tonight?
Oh, gosh.
Steelers, remember, no Le'Veon Bell.
And here's the biggest thing. Tom Brady kills the Steelers. Now, it's not Dick LeBeau, but over the last 3 or 4 years, every time they've matched up, they've shredded that defense. It's a different defense with no Dick LeBeau, basically the same tenets. Listen, if Le'Veon Bell's there, I think the Steelers have a great chance. No Le'Veon Bell. I think it's Tom Brady.
They're missing a wide receiver, too.
Martavis Bryant is out. The secondary for the Patriots is not very good. I think this is a 35-31 type of game,
I
think the Patriots win.
I think Patriots at home is going to give them an edge. Other games in the National Football League, Green Bay at Chicago. That's a 1 o'clock kick on Sunday. I don't see any way that the Bears can pull that out.
I don't think the Bears are any good.
Even though that Jordy Nelson is not available to the Green Bay Packers for the entire season, it's Aaron Rodgers. And I don't care. Aaron Rodgers is one of those quarterbacks. It's like Peyton Manning. All of a sudden, Peyton Manning goes to a team and all of a sudden makes guys show up on the radar like he did at Indianapolis whenever he didn't have Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison. All of a sudden, you're like, who's that guy? It doesn't matter because Peyton Manning's throwing him the ball.
Remember with the Cowboys, when Aikman was there, they used to talk about the triplets? Aikman, Emmett, and Michael Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know there's no Jordy Nelson, but the Packers still have Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy, and Randall Cobb.
Yep.
Pretty good trio of guys who can hurt you.
So we're in agreement there. Green Bay is going to win. Kansas City Chiefs at the Houston Texans. I'm taking the Chiefs.
I don't like this at all. I'm agreeing with you so far 100%.
You are?
Yeah, I like the Chiefs as well.
Okay, Kansas City is going to win at the Houston Texans. I don't care if Hard Knocks just got done featuring the Houston Texans, but I am looking forward to watching the film of Jadeveon Clowney. And he's supposedly not going to start, but he's going to play. And seeing how they actually rotate him in that lineup, I think, is a huge point of interest.
I don't expect much.
You never know.
Were you that impressed before he got hurt last year?
No, because you could tell that he just looked a little lost. And it's a 3-4. It's kind of a misfit. He should have his hand in the ground somewhere.
Absolutely.
All right, Cleveland Browns at the New York Jets. I'll let you go first.
That is an awful football game. I mean, two teams that don't have a quarterback, two teams that are full of controversy and problems and issues. The Browns have no offensive line coach. They have no GM. They have one of the McCown brothers playing quarterback who got jettisoned from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after signing a one-year big-time deal. You know, you got the Jets who are punching, knocking out their quarterback, and you got the sent away Houston Texans quarterback and Fitzpatrick. Where's the game being played?
At New York.
I'll pick the Jets.
I'm going to take the Jets too, even though Mike Pettine was a college roommate of mine. I think the Jets, the job that Todd Bowles did with the defenses in Arizona was spectacular.
He's a great coach, and they have a good defense.
I think that they're going to be able to do some things. Now, it starts getting interesting here. The Indianapolis Colts at the Buffalo Bills, that's a 1 o'clock kick also. I'm going to go with the Bills. I think that Andrew Luck, in front of that rowdy, raucous Buffalo crowd, is going to struggle a little bit.
They have a great defense. Marcellus Darius just signed the huge deal. He will not be playing, though. He's suspended week one, Jeff. So that does hurt them as far as their pass rush. They're very good all over the field on defense. Rex Ryan's going to have them dialed up, ready to go. But I refuse to pick a team
without a quarterback.
Andrew Luck, if it comes down to it, he will win that game when it matters most. I like the Colts.
Okay, all right. Miami Dolphins at the Redskins. That's also a 1 o'clock kick. And I know a lot of people are picking the Dolphins. But, you know, I just got this feeling that the Redskins are going to be able to pull this. I think this is my upset special.
I'm rooting and cheering for the Redskins. My high school good friend and college roommate, Joe Barry, is the defensive coordinator. I wanted to win for him for no other reasons, but I just don't think the Redskins have enough. I mean, Kirk Cousins, it's not like they got a ton of weapons. They do have DeSean Jackson who can scare you deep.
They play pretty good defense in Washington.
They do play good defense. Joe Barry's a really good coordinator. They're going to blitz the heck out of Ryan Tannehill. But I like the Dolphins this year, Jeff. I think that's a good football team with a very good defense.
All right, we disagree there. We disagreed on the Buffalo Indy game. Seattle Seahawks at the St. Louis Rams.
I don't know what the Rams are going to do offensively. They got Nick Foles, no Todd Gurley. You know, their offensive line. The interesting thing about the Rams is the big tackle they drafted 2 years ago, second overall pick, the kid out of Auburn. Really struggling.
Yeah.
He's having a hard time. But that defense is so good. I see a little bit of a hangover for the Seahawks. I'm going to take the Rams.
And no Cam Chancellor for the Seahawks. I'm going to stick with the Seattle Seahawks. New Orleans Saints at the Arizona Cardinals. Interesting game right there because it's the return of Carson Palmer.
Great game. And I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to win the NFC West, and I think it starts on Sunday. They win that game.
I agree with you. I'm taking the Cardinals. I think the job that Bruce Arians is doing down there is sometimes overlooked. Detroit Lions at the San Diego Chargers. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions. I think that the job that they're doing in Detroit with their new head coach is and Matt Stafford getting better. I just think Megatron's going to run wild.
I like the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to win the AFC West. I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the AFC this year. I really like what they're doing. They got Melvin Gordon back there in the backfield. Now, Detroit's a great run-stopping defense, but that secondary is not very good. And I think our guy Phillip Rivers lights them up and wins that game.
And supposedly a pretty good turnout coming in there to San Diego, even since we'll talk about moving some other games here just to kind of wrap them up. Titans, Buccaneers, I'll take Titans.
I'll take the Bucs just to be different.
Just to be different. Bengals at the Raiders.
I'm going to take the Raiders in an upset.
I can't pick Jack Del Rio. I'm taking the Bengals. the Ravens at the Broncos.
I think the Broncos defense is going to be maybe the best defense in football this year. They're really good.
I think you're right that they've got some pass rushers and lots of them. Giants at the Cowboys. I'm taking the Cowboys.
TC, come on, baby.
Eagles at the Falcons on Monday. I'm taking the Eagles. And then the other game on Monday night, the other part of that doubleheader, Vikings at the 49ers. I'm taking the Vikings.
I'll just go opposite of you because we're out of time.
Talking to everybody next week, same time, same place.